Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text Number 19, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Translation: perfection and self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Purport: that knowledge and renunciation are never perfect unless joined by devotional service is explicitly explained here. Nayujyamanaya means without being dovetailed. When there is devotional service, then the question is where to offer that service. Devotional service is to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of everything, for that is the only reliable path of self-realization or Brahman realization. The word Brahma Siddhye means to understand matter, to understand oneself to be Brahman. The Vedic words are Aham Brahmasmi. Brahma Siddhi means that one should know that he is not matter, he is pure soul. There are different kinds of yogis, but every yogi is supposed to engage in self-realization or Brahman realization. It is clearly stated here that unless one is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot have easy approach to the path of Brahma Siddhi. In the beginning of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that when one engages himself in the devotional service of Vasudeva, spiritual knowledge on renunciation of the material world automatically become manifest. Thus, a devotee does not have to try separately for renunciation or knowledge. Devotional service itself is so powerful that by one's service attitude, everything is revealed. It is stated here, Shiva Panthaha, this is the only auspicious path for self-realization. The path of devotional service is the most confidential means for attaining Brahman realization. That perfection in Brahman realization is attained through the auspicious path of devotional service. Indicates that the so-called Brahman realization, or realization of the Brahma Jyoti effulgence, is not Brahma Siddhi. Beyond that Brahma Jyoti, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Upanishads, a devotee prays to the Lord to kindly put aside the effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, so that the devotee may see within the Brahma Jyoti the actual eternal form of the Lord. Unless one attains realization of the transcendental form of the Lord, there is no question of bhakti. Bhakti necessitates the existence of the recipient of devotional service and the devotee who renders devotional service. Brahma Siddhi through devotional service is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The understanding of the effulgent rays of the body of the Supreme Godhead is not the perfect stage of Brahma Siddhi or Brahman realization, nor is the realization of the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Person perfect. For Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Akhilatma. He is the Supersoul. One who realizes the Supreme Personality realizes the other features, namely the Paramatma feature and the Brahman feature, and that total realization is Brahma Siddhi. Nayujyamanaya bhaktya bhagavatya akhilatmani sadrisho sti shiva pantha yoginam brahma siddhiye. Perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nimitam Veena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This chapter is titled The Glories of Devotional Service. In this chapter, Lord Kapiladev is explaining why devotional service is the only auspicious path for all living beings. Even the other Vedic paths, such as Jnana, Karma and Yoga, they may also be within the purview of Vedic knowledge, Vedic activities, but they do not give the ultimate perfection of life. Because the ultimate perfection of life is bhaktya bhagavatya khilatmani, to offer devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul within everyone's heart. So So even the yogis, their idea, Brahma Siddhi, will merge their idea of the ultimate spiritual truth is to perceive the super soul and merge into his existence. But higher stage than that is being indicated here, is that the supreme, the super soul, is more complete feature to be understood, even higher than understanding of the Supreme Lord as the super soul, is to understand him as the supreme personality of Godhead and to offer devotional service unto him. So this is stated throughout the Vedic literatures. It is summarized here in this chapter in very simple language. Śrīla Gaurī Prabhupāda, he opened up his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, after examining all the Vedic literatures. Nāna Shastra Vichāranaika Nipuno Sadharma Samsthāpako. After analyzing all the Vedic literatures with the aim of establishing Sadharma, what is the actual path of religion? He came to the conclusion, the same conclusion that Lord Brahma had come to. Lord Brahma, he studied all the Vedic literatures 3 times, which none of us could do even in a lifetime. To study all the Vedic literatures would take so much time, and even to understand that Brahma, because he has special intelligence, he is so much more intelligent. Not only intelligent for studying ABC, but realized transcendental intelligence. He studied all the Vedic literatures and came to the positive conclusion that is again stated here by Kapila Dev, and is again stated by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, and was again and again and again and again spoken to us by Srila Prabhupada, that devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna, none other than Krishna, that is the only auspicious path. And everything outside of this is nonsense. As the Supreme Lord himself told Brahma, in 4 verses, he gave Lord Brahma the whole Vedic knowledge. So, just to distinguish what is correct from what is not correct, he spoke this famous verse, Vitertam yapritiyeta, yapritiyeta chatmani, which more or less means, not more or less, straightforwardly means, that anything that is conceived outside of a relationship with Krishna, if anyone is thinking of anything outside of knowledge of Krishna, that is wrong concept. It has no basis in reality. Not that everything is non-existent, but if we perceive anything outside of its relationship with Krishna, then that is called maya or illusion. That is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how the pure devotee sees, dharva jangam dake na dake tam murte savatra svuribe hoi tar ishta deva murti, that a pure devotee, he sees as we see. He sees trees, houses, cars, airplanes, rivers, so many different things, but he sees everything, that in everything is Krishna. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, because of course in those early days of our movement, devotees were mostly very neophyte and mostly from some kind of a hippie background, so we're much used to hallucinations of different kinds, mostly chemically inspired. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, when you see a tree, what do you see? He was thinking maybe Prabhupada saw the tree was shaking or different colors or something like this. How do you see Krishna everywhere? How do you see Krishna in the tree? Prabhupada said, I see this is Krishna's tree. That is the vision of a pure devotee, not necessarily that he sees that the tree is Krishna, or that he sees Krishna dancing everywhere. He may do also. But he sees, what is the philosophical basis? First of all, we see that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is in Krishna, Krishna is in everything. Everything is in relationship with Krishna. Just like you see when Prabhupada, he was talking, whatever he was talking about, maybe management of our society, some legal matter, or someone brings some news from the newspaper, you see, even Prabhupada, he would know what is the news. The devotees would tell him what is in the newspaper. Prabhupada, I read in the newspaper, the scientists say that they're going to make food out of stool, for instance. They would bring some comment. And Prabhupada would immediately give what is the Krishna conscious view of that. So many people may discuss. Prabhupada, there is a comet coming. So all the people would discuss, well, the comet is this and the comet is that, and what is the scientific understanding, and There may be astrologers also giving. Prabhupada, you would give. What is the shastric? And it's shastra and shastra. So many people are giving ideas of shastra, but exactly in relationship to Krishna. So we see Prabhupada, he was always talking about Krishna, and very straightforwardly and clearly giving this Siddhanta. It's now become a very popular word in our society. Siddhanta. But here, Siddhanta very clearly given, what is the Siddhi? That is to know Krishna. Prabhupada knew Krishna and he presented Krishna throughout his books, talking constantly in his life, everything he was doing, he was presenting Krishna very clearly and straightforwardly. Otherwise, here we see, if one is not clearly and straightforwardly on the path of Krishna consciousness, then he's not on the auspicious path. He may be following the path of the yogis for the sake of getting Brahma Siddhi, but he doesn't clearly know what Brahma Siddhi is. He thinks Brahma Siddhi means simply to merge into some light. Therefore, for all his endeavors, severe austerities, very strict sadhana for many, many years, but he doesn't come to the point. He misses the point because he's gone on the wrong track. Spiritual life, he's realizing that this material world, there's nothing to be gained, there's nothing good from sense gratification. Let me take to self-realization. Let me follow what is stated in the Vedas. Let me accept a guru. Let me perform austerities. He may even be aiming to meditate. Dhyana vasta tadgatena manasattva shanti yam yogina. He may even be meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he hasn't come to this point of bhaktya bhagavati, because he hasn't come to this point of understanding that the only auspicious path, Shriyashati Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho, Pashanti Yekevala, what is that? Pashanti Yekevala, what is it? Kavita, you know all the verses. Pashanti Yekevala Bodhisattva. One who is performing the yogic austerities or trying to follow the path of Jnana without coming to the point of bhakti, the Bhagavatam against it, is just like someone who he's doing everything nicely, husking rice. He's got the rice husker, he's working hard, husking the rice. But the only thing is, the rice is already husked. There's nothing there. There's no substance. He's doing everything nicely. He's following the directions, what to do, working hard. But just one little mistake he made is that the rice is already husked. So there's nothing to be gained from that. So in the same way, the yogis, they can follow so many different Vedic paths, this, that, and the other, following Vedic injunction, but because they miss the point that everything is to be offered to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in devotional service, therefore for all their endeavors, they don't actually get the point. The real point of life is to understand Krishna, to surrender to Krishna in devotional service. People, generally they eulogize such yogis, that he is such an austere person. Among yogis it is a great, it's a prestige, a status symbol. Who's got a long beard? Jata, this long beard. If it comes down to the ground, means he is a very great yogi, because he grew his beard for so many years. And you can't grow your beard down to the ground unless you live a long time, and you can't live a long time unless you control your breathing. So, means if your beard is down to the ground, you may be 300, 400 years old. So that's very great yogi. You see at Kumbh Mela, some of these yogis, they actually have beards, which come at least around to their knees, and their hair at the back. And they usually put it up like this. It makes like a big beehive on their head. But if they let it down, just to show, just see, they'll be standing next to another yogi. Just like the hippies they used to do. Who's got the long hair? I've been a hippie for 10 years, so my hair's really long. And I've been a yogi for 300 years, so my hair's really long. So the people, they eulogize, oh, what a great yogi. What a wonderful personality. But for all that he's doing, at some point he will die. And then he will go, who knows where, probably up somewhere, no doubt, elevated person. But he's not going to go up, 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 up through the universe and to the lotus feet of Krishna, because he hasn't developed such a desire. In other words, he wasted his time. He spent such a long time growing his beard. But it's all a waste of time. because when he dies, his beard won't go with him. His yogic austerity, that may give him a kick up to Mahaloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka, maybe Swargaloka, but it doesn't bring him to the ultimate goal of life. Whereas the devotees, what are they doing? What are our devotees doing? Chanting Hare Krishna. You see here in Mayapur festival, it's very nice. It's just like we can imagine in future, what is the... You want to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So here in Mayapur, you see in the evening, the temple, there's big kirtan going on. Somewhere else, there's a darshan class going on. Somewhere else, in the room, a group of devotees are singing some bhajans. So everyone is engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna. The yogis, they're up in the Himalayas. They're not hearing and chanting about Krishna. They're drilling the respiration in the terms of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Dry life, no happiness. But they're thinking that by this austerity, I will get the result, I will become realized. But Prabhupada told that one day on Sankirtan, one day you go distributing his books, that is worth thousands and thousands of years of austerities of the yogis. Or more. Actually, it's worth more. Because the yogis, for all their austerities, they'll never come to the point of understanding Krishna. And someone who simply goes out and gives someone, here, please take this book about Krishna, then he makes so much spiritual advancement. He's on the unlimited path. He's on the path which, you see, the yogis, what they do, it all adds up. They get some yogic advancement. So they increase their jnana. They increase their vairagya, their knowledge and austerity. But that is still within the limited sphere of this universe. It doesn't go to the point of understanding Krishna. It's the whole quality of it is, even though the intensity of it may be very great, but the quality is such, the quality of their activity is such, that one drop of devotional service is worth millions and millions of years of the yogis' austerities. Poor yogis. How they waste their time. They waste their time also, not only are they performing austerities with no tangible result, but they don't even make any real spiritual advancement because they become, the tendency is there to become proud. That pride, that completely blocks any advancement in Krishna consciousness. If one is proud, he cannot begin to advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Ramananda Rao, he quoted this verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated from Lord Brahma's prayers. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. If one wants to begin his spiritual life, the first thing he has to do is realize that by my own mental endeavors, yogic endeavors, whatever, I can't make any advancement. Therefore, simply become humble. Stane stita, the next line is, jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya varitam. Jai Sri Sri Radha Madhava. Jai Ashta Shakti, Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the endeavors of the yogis that they are making, they can't make any tangible progress, simply because they become very proud. They think, now I know everything. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected all these processes offered by Ramananda Rai, karma, jnana and yoga. And when he came to this point, when Ramananda Rai came to this point, that giving up all the endeavors that I will become by my own attempt, very learned, very austere, very advanced, if we simply take this process very humbly, hearing from authorities, then Krishna, who is not conquerable, he is ajit, he cannot be conquered by your yogic endeavor, by any endeavor, not that by, I will read so many books and I will understand Krishna, I will fast, severe fasting, then I will understand God. God, he cannot be touched. We don't have such power to approach him. But he can be conquered by the love of one who humbly submits to his devotees. This is the process. That you can't get Krishna by force. But one who becomes very humble, then he attracts Krishna. That also, Rupa Goswami, in the beginning of mental devotion, he's giving the glories of devotional service. One of the glories of devotional service is that Krishna himself becomes conquered by bhakti. This Prabhupada sometimes used to say that the Mayavadis, they want to become one with God. We have a higher ambition. We will become greater than God. Because Mother Yashoda, she's tying up God. The yogis, they can't even approach the tip of the toe of his lotus feet. Pantas tu koti shatavatsara sambhagavyo, bayoratabi manaso munipungavanam, sopyastiyat prapatisinya vinchintya tatve govindamani purusham tamaham vajam. Krishna is adichintya tatve, adichintya tatva. That means even by very great mental somersaults, even if one is a highly learned person, an Einstein, or a big pundit, you see the pundits, they give themselves, they get big, big names. It's, what is that? Mahavidya Kavya, something like this. I don't mind. Big, big names. So for all their big, big names, they can't understand Krishna. Even Lord Brahma, he thought, what is this Krishna? He's just a little boy. He cannot be God. Because he's running around playing with other little boys and chasing the cow. So how can he be God? Then afterwards, Lord Brahma, he understood. Oh yes, he is God. He showed little, Brahma thought he would play a little trick with Krishna. And Krishna, without even talking to him, he didn't try to negotiate a peace settlement or could you bring my boys back. He just showed, you're doing magic? I can do magic much better than you. So in this way, Lord Brahma again understood the point which he had stated in his Brahma Samhita, that Krishna is adichintya tattva. Even if you have very good powers, very big brain to understand so many things, even if you can quote so many shlokas and interpret in so many ways. And you see, now our devotees are getting some insight into Vedic wrangling. This tradition in India was there, Vedic wrangling. Someone will take a point from Shastra and he will interpret. You see this prefix, pra. So from this, and then he'll interpret it in such a way that the actual meaning becomes completely distorted. And he says, well, this means this, and because it's in this grammatical case, therefore we can deduce this. This is called mental speculation, by which someone twists some meaning out. Just like that rascal, we're not supposed to mention names. He said that Krishna means black, and black means unknown, therefore Krishna cannot be known, so he won't even bother to try. Don't bother trying to understand Krishna. This is big, big Swami, famous Swami. So this is his way of interpreting, getting some meaning out, but this is not the meaning given by the Acharyas. The Acharyas, they are presenting everything very clearly. This is the process to understand God. Krishna, God, he is avichintya tattva. He cannot be understood by the yogis. He cannot be understood by the mental speculators, but he can be understood by the process of jnane prayasa buddhapasya namantare vijivanti sanna karitam bhavadiya bhartam. He can be understood by the process of humbly hearing from self-realized souls. What does humbly hearing mean? Humbly hearing means that one accepts that I don't know, I'm a fool, I'm not such a big brain. My spiritual master, he is self-realized, he can teach what is correct. Why? Because he has heard from his spiritual master who is correct. This is the process, handed down without any change. We've heard it so many times. Then we may say, well, there are apparent differences between the Acharyas. That may be. There may be even what to speak between the Acharyas, even in the Shastra itself, there are apparent differences in what is, something is discussed. Then again, some, just like that in Gita, sometimes it seems that Krishna is saying that, what is that? He says, Prakriti Kriya Mahanadi Kumai. Someone thinks, I'm the doer, you're not the doer. Then again, later on, Krishna says, but I'm also not the doer. So you may ask them, who or what is the doer? There appears to be a contradiction. So those who are acharyas, they explain That is one of the functions of the great self-realized acharyas. What is apparently a contradiction, they resolve it. Just like in the Gita also, you'll find yogi. The word is described. So Prabhupada, so many times, he translates that as devotee. And some people, they may protest. But why is Bhaktivedanta Swami saying yogi means devotee? He says yogi. And yogi means that guy with the long beard down to his toes. Doesn't mean that you guys jumping up and down, but banging on a drum. How is that? But then you see, Prabhupada, his self-realized soul, so he knows what is the purpose of Shastra, and he is kept yogi, that Krishna explains, means devotee. The best yogi is a devotee. So therefore yogi, ultimately that is to be understood, who is an actual yogi? One who, in here the word is given, yujyamanaya, one who dovetails everything in devotional service. So you may say, wow, that's not very good scholarship, and how about he didn't, after all, he made everything very simple. But we should study more Sanskrit and try to understand in a more scholarly way. So if you do that, you can study, and you can study so many different big, big scholars, and you can come up with many, many different interpretations. Because that is the whole Vedic culture, is full of these different philosophers with many, many different interpretations. And you can find, oh, so many wonderful interpretations of everything, and you can say, well, Prabhupada said this, but actually it wasn't really correct, and that's all right for less intelligent people. But those who are really big scholars, those who are very deep scholars, those who studied very deeply, they will find how wonderfully Prabhupada has put all the essence, he's captured it and put it exactly. Other people, those who, that Prabhupada used to say, that referring to the scientists, those who are just like little fish, they're jumping, put, 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 in the water. But those who are big fish, they remain deep inside. So like that, the little scientists, they make some protest that no, there's no God. But those who are the really great geniuses, or genii, whatever the word is, they appreciate that, yes, there is God. They may not know who is God, but that they should go to Prabhupada. But they don't make protest like this. So in the same way, who are actually very, very great scholars, who have studied very deeply, they are astonished how Prabhupada has given the Vedic conclusion, which is very difficult to understand, even for great yogis and jnanis, how he has presented that in such a straightforward, clear way, that he has taken all the different points of Vedic philosophy and captured it in a nutshell and told very clearly, straightforwardly, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are all his servants, and devotional service to Krishna is the only auspicious path. Others, they may have to go through many, many lifetimes of study, or they may have to go through so many difficult intellectual processes to understand this. But Prabhupada has put it very clearly and straightforwardly, just as Srimad Bhagavatam is here, very straightforward and clear. Prabhupada hasn't tried to do like this. You know this example? If you want to scratch your nose, you can go like this. Or, you can go like this. So Prabhupada is not going like this. He's going like this. He's not hiding anything. Not trying to make it, not trying to present it in a very difficult kind of way. That is the job of pseudo-intellectuals. They try to cover everything, make big, big talk, but there's no actual substance there. Prabhupada gave substance clearly, straightforwardly. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Service to him is the only auspicious path. And not only was he talking about it, that I think it was Hema Malini, she made some, that comes in the Linamrita, that she said that Prabhupada, he was so great that he wasn't only just talking about all these things, but he actually went out and he got people to do it, and he showed that actually this is true. Prabhupada didn't just say that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. But he went all over the world and he got millions of people to chant Hare Krishna, and they factually experienced how they became happy. And what kind of happiness? Not some useless happiness like dancing in a disco club. that you may think that these people, they're young, they have very healthy bodies, therefore to let out their energy, they're chanting Hare Krishna and jumping up and down. So they're feeling some pleasure from that, but that is not the fact. The fact is that chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, that is the topmost religious path that the followers of Shankaracharya, that Prakashananda Saraswati in Varanasi, he couldn't understand. He thought that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just jumping up and down with a bunch of less educated people, they're just simply sentimentalists. Why is he doing it? They thought that he's a sannyasi and he's dancing. Sannyasis aren't meant to dance. Shastra says, sannyasis are not meant to dance. Of course they're not meant to dance. They're meant for a very serious, grave life. They're not meant for dancing, means they're not meant to go for some ballroom dance, as Prabhupada used to say. But dancing for Krishna, that is sannyas. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, they didn't understand. They thought that we're studying Shastra, we're very austere, we've understood so many things. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down to speak with them, then they became quiet. They understood that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood Vedanta exactly. Then they also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't just defeat them in some philosophical talk. That's all they knew, was how to discuss some philosophy back and forward. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought them in his Sankirtan party. So similarly, Prabhupada, we see he went all over the world, and he was never defeated. He met with so many people from all different walks of life. He's giving so many different ideas. And Prabhupada, he simply spoke on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, that whatever he said, no one could defeat. One time, one Indian, he was a doctor, came to meet Prabhupada, and said, what is the proof that reincarnation, that the soul, when it leaves the body, that when we die, we go to another body? Prabhupada said, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that is the proof. That is the ultimate proof. Because Shastra says, when the man says, very sarcastic, oh, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That is the ultimate. Because Prabhupada had that faith, not only faith, but realization, that everything that is said in Shastra, as we have received from our acharyas, that is correct. And you should accept that also. Ultimately, this is the standard, that we have to accept what is said in Shastra. Just like Prabhupada going to the moon. Who would say, who could even imagine, apart from Prabhupada, that they have not gone to the moon? Because they haven't gone to the moon. How do you know? Because in Shastra it says the moon is further away than the sun. So how you can't, that's one thing. Another thing is that you can't go to the moon because they won't allow you to come in. You're not qualified. You can't go by machine. You have to go by pious activity. So Prabhupada, he stood by his principles, even though it may seem to others that he is wrong. And so many people would criticize him, argue with him, wouldn't accept. But he simply stuck by his principles. We have to follow Shastra, and our acharyas have said this, therefore we have to follow. And this confidence he instilled in us also by his personal example. Anyone who is at all sensitive could understand that Prabhupada is self, he's not one of us. It's like sometimes people ask, was your Guru Maharaj an Indian? Was he a Bengali? So we say yes in some ways, but it doesn't fit. You don't think Prabhupada's a Bengali or an Indian. He's not one of us. He's, as he said about his own Guru Maharaj, he is a Vaikuntha man. Prabhupada is a completely different kind of person because everything about him was completely Krishna conscious. And that faith he instilled, everything he did, he was just so full of Krishna consciousness that he inspired others, inspired, taught, not simply just like some electric shock current that Ramakrishna, that mythology we heard, that Ramakrishna touched Vivekananda and then an electric shock went into him and then he got all his knowledge. That's what they say. Anyway, however he got his knowledge from Ramakrishna, it was all completely bogus anyway. So, whichever way he was spoiled by Ramakrishna. But this is not the method. The method is hearing from the spiritual master, but hearing from Srila Prabhupada means he was so much convinced and able to convince. Because he's seeing Krishna directly, face to face, at every moment. So that confidence Prabhupada instilled, that if we simply follow Prabhupada, very simply, we don't have to do anything very difficult. Even in about 1969, I think it was, Prabhupada, this comes in Amrita, that he was leaving London, and he had trained Yamuna Devi Dasi, in deity worship. So that was 1969. So Prabhupada said, if you just read my books, whatever is there, whatever I've taught you up to now, if you simply follow that, you will go back home, back to Godhead. So it wasn't that. Prabhupada left, he was teaching, but he left something left over. This common myth. Prabhupada left something left over. Hidden teachings. Secret teachings. No, in the very beginning he taught the complete truth. In the very beginning, if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, 1966, you will have all knowledge of the absolute truth. What did Prabhupada teach? We're not these bodies, we're eternal spirit soul, we are the servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he has six opulences in full, there's no comparison. Therefore, our duty is to serve Krishna, because we are suffering in this material world, forgetting Krishna. Therefore, we should serve Krishna, become purified, and go back to Godhead. How to serve Krishna? Principally by chanting the holy names of Krishna, associating with devotees. In those 1966 lectures, you listen to them, you get all direction how to go back home, back to Godhead, all spiritual knowledge. Even Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He says, if you, this book alone is enough for self-realization, for God-realization, this book alone is enough. Now, if you study, if someone has such a brain, and mostly in this day and age, people don't have such a brain. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his guru, warned him that you are not fit to study Vedanta Sutra. But even if someone has such a brain to study Vedanta Sutra, then you study inside out, upside down, because that's what Vedanta Sutra means. Everyone, all the different commentators, they go in, here, this point, that point, very hair-splitting, very complex. So if you go through all that, and if you have such a brain to understand all these things, that's the problem. Most of the people don't have such a brain, and they think they understand, and they don't understand, and then they talk all nonsense. That is mostly the problem. But even if you do have such a brain to understand, and you go through everything, then you'll come to the conclusion that Sarvadhaman Paritya Jamami comes from. You see what Prabhupada said. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should surrender to him and chant Hare Krishna. So, nowadays we have so many different books. Many, many, many books are being published. Still, if we come back and read Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything becomes very clear. Otherwise, reading so many different things, our brain may become befuddled. That's what happened to Tapan Mishra. He was a bookworm. Before he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a bookworm. He used to read many, 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 many books. And one book says this, and another book says that, and something else says this. Another thing says, yes, that's all right, but you should understand it a little bit differently. Yes, yes, everything you say is good, but just a little, I just have a little bit different understanding. So all these little bit different understandings, they make us confused. Oh, really? But then we pick up Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's purport, and Prabhupada gives everything very clearly. Devotional service is to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of everything, for that is the only reliable path of self-realization. Everything is very simple, clear, straightforward. It doesn't mean that we become brainless. Rather, our intelligence becomes nourished by the clear, straightforward, unequivocal instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. So, this is the one point, I think, in our society that seems from the lectures I've been hearing here in Mayapur this year, that devotees are coming to this conclusion more and more strongly, very clearly, that after all, even if we, not that we shouldn't study so many different books, because Prabhupada told us to, but even if we don't read any other books, we simply read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, and follow what he told us to do. Rise early in the morning, go to Mangal Arati, chant 16 rounds attentively, associate with the devotees, engage in devotional service within this Krishna conscious movement, then our whole life will be perfect. Everything will be perfect, complete. And others, they may bring out so many books and write so many different theories about this and that and the other. And because that is part of the philosophical process, others may again write other books, which someone writes a book which no one can understand, saying such and such a point, and people think, oh, that's wonderful, because I couldn't understand it. It must be very intelligent. So then someone else brings out a book to refute that, which is also so deep that you can't understand it. But anyway, they're establishing the point that whatever Prabhupada said is very straightforward and clear. So that will go on. There will be intellectual wrangling. Not that that's bad intellectual wrangling, that should be ultimately to establish the point Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should all surrender to Him. But it's not meant for all of us to spend all our time of life simply wrangling on tiny little this point, that point, another point. Rather, we should understand the clear point, straightforward point, most important point, is that we're all supposed to surrender to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage in His devotional service by hearing about Krishna, chanting His holy names, remembering His lotus feet, engaging in deity worship, taking prasad, and all these processes. This is the auspicious path for everybody. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment? Difference between Bhagavan realization and Paramatma realization. Paramatma realization also means to realize the form of God, but there is not a knowledge of His six opulences, and there is not the motive of service to Him. The yogis, they usually make the mistake, Prabhupada explains, of thinking, they see the form of God and then they think, Soham, I'm He. Any other question?
The question that comes up sometimes, here we have Himalayas. He is speaking about the glory of the Gopal. And then he's going to go on and he's going to talk about Pranayama, about meditation, and it seems to be ultimately to come back to the same point. But it seems like a detour. Why does he go through all of that?
Here we have Kapila Dev speaking about the glories of devotional service. Then he'll go on to the yoga process of pranayama, so many different things, and then again he'll come back to devotional service. So why does he make a detour? Why does he explain these things at all? Well, then we may say, why are all the Vedas there? Why don't we just have one verse? Savadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. That's all you have to... But just because we have so many doubts, or we may be attracted to so many different things, therefore everything is explained and then brought into the context that after all, this is the only auspicious path. And then why is it the only auspicious path? That you may explain this way, that way, another way. And then again you come to the point, after all, this is the only auspicious path. Sorry, she was...